Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Draw for the French Open takes place today. And of course, everyone looking at Andy Murray's form at the moment and saying, what on earth has happened? Let's pick the bones out of this one with Sky Sports' Barry Cowan. Morning, Barry.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Very good. And thank you for your company. I'm sure you're excited about the French Open as always. But what is happening to the world number one?
Well, I think personally, when you follow his tennis over the last 12 months, I think we have to, this has to be a certain amount of understanding. What's happened this year is the result of what happened at the end of last year. Andy has always been relentless in his pursuit for excellence. He's always been striving to be the best player he can be. And then he reached the ultimate goal last year, which I think was earlier than he thought, because actually going back to around September, he identified March as the crucial time. That's when he thought logically was more likely he was going to end the year world number one. And you know, who could have foreseen that Djokovic would struggle at the end of last year? And then he obviously had the bonus of number one. And any time any athlete who reached the summit, there is always that day. Well, the two things that happen. They either go on to bigger and better things, or they struggle to remotivate themselves. They struggle with a few injuries because they're pushing themselves right to the brink. And for Murray, the age that he reached world number one, I think the latter has obviously applied. And I'm not surprised. Where I am surprised is this slump. You know, we always have to clarify that. A slump for Andy Murray, it's still just outside the top 10 in one of his performances this year. Obviously, there'd be 99.9% of us would love to be in his position, but he's clearly not playing the best tennis. But it's just a question of when is he going to be back 100% fit and back playing the tennis and have the sparkle on the court again. At the moment, he's just not there.
That idea of a slump in motivation is really hard to understand, isn't it? One or two of the papers have featured it like that this morning. This idea that you can't get the same motivation. Boris Becker has talked about the fact that Novak Djokovic had something similar.
Well, can I just clarify? Murray's motivation is different to what Djokovic has gone through. With Andy, whenever you're... I mean, I quite... To simplify it, I sort of say it's like when you're working really hard and then all of a sudden you go on holiday. And you go on holiday for 2 weeks. And those first 2 days that you go on holiday, you have no real energy, you know, real motivation.
Yeah.
And a sportsman, especially in tennis, which is the depth is incredible. If you are 5% down, and that's what we're talking about here, you know, he's not all of a sudden dropped 50%. It's 5%, 10%. And that can be the difference. So instead of you winning a couple of the important points, you end up losing them. So you get on this run of, you can get on the run of winning matches. You can also get a run on losing matches. And at the moment, Murray is in a little bit of that. But I have no doubt that he's going to turn it around. I have no doubt that by Wimbledon, he will be back near playing his very best tennis. He loves the grass. He obviously has got such fond memory. I just think the French Open is coming too soon for him in terms of being a serious contender. Now, you know, Murray is often proved a lot of people wrong. Often that's what really can fuel his motivation. Is he does like to prove people wrong. But I often have this belief, Steve, that going into the French Open, you have to show form in one way or another. And Murray hasn't had that. So to go and win seven matches on his least favourite surface would be an incredible achievement.
Absolutely. And maybe his body just needs a little bit of a rest. He had this problem with shingles, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's now taking antibiotics. Has he got some flu or something like that? So there's a few things that sort of have hit him at once.
Well, I think Federer showed that way last year. And you never forget how to hit a tennis ball. And when you have the sublime talent that Andy has, you're never going to lose that. So sometimes it is better to say, right, I'm not 100% fit. I'm going to take 3 months off, 4 months off. When I come back, I'm going to be 100% fit. There's no point being 80%, 75%, because it also gets you down. And you know, only Andy knows. And if he isn't anywhere near 100% fit, then I think he's kept it hidden pretty well. You know, example would be Nishikori. You know, he's well below 100% fitness, and you, some weeks he pulls out, some weeks he plays round. It just had a few of those issues. So I think take a leaf out of Federer's book. It certainly worked for him.
Spoken about that Boris Becker interview. He's also posed what might be an awkward question, where he said, where's Ivan Lendl been? Why has he not been in the player's box this year that many times?
I think even when they worked the first time, Lendl was not there 100%. He was not there the whole time. Lendl would come in for the big events, and then it would be left to the other coach, which previously was Danny Valverde, who's now coaching Dimitrov, and now obviously it's currently Jamie Delgado. Now it worked for large parts of last year with Jamie being there. I think it's maybe a factor, but I don't think it's the main factor. I think it would be unfair on Lendl. I think it'd be unfair on Murray. I think it'd be unfair on Jamie Delgado to say, well, the reason he's having a slump is because Lendl's not there. I feel it's more that it's been over a decade of this pursuit for excellence, and he reached it, and he's just suffering a bit of a dip, and things happen, you know, whether it be the illness, whether it be the elbow injury, whether it be the illness again. And I just think he needs to get back. He's still clearly got the motivation. I mean, I certainly make a case that he should have taken longer off after the end of last year before he went on his preseason training. I think that looking back was probably an error that he wouldn't do again. But you know, Lendl is back there now, and it's not all of a sudden Lendl's going to be saying you've got to improve your forehand, you've got to improve your back, and it'll just be one or two words in his ear that might just help him. But I think more for Murray, just getting that feeling back that he's on this upward curve, and the fact that no one's mentioning him, the fact that he can kind of go under the radar, might suit him.
Your own memories of the French Open, Barry?
I liked the Paris. I liked the French Open, but I was rubbish.
Was it the surface?
It was a surface, yeah. I was. It was never to my liking. But there is something magical about the French Open, something magical about watching clay court tennis. And then, you know, as soon as the French finishes, you've then obviously got the grass, which is a total contrast. And obviously that's going to be majorly interesting to see what happens there, the French. But undoubtedly at the moment, going to the French, Nadal starts the favourite, because out of the big players, he's the only one who's actually shown real form.
Steve Hothersall's kickoff.
This is Radio City Talk.